Okay, everybody, and welcome to Podtacular's take on E3, our new little segment we got going here. And this week we're going to be commenting on E3, and specifically the Halo portion of E3. Since you know this is a Halo podcast, why talk about Crackdown 2? Why talk about MAG? I mean, who wants to know about that when you're on a Halo podcast?
Yeah.
You make a great point there.
But anyway, on this week, if you haven't noticed, we have the Bizzle, Mr. JVB, the ex.
Hola.
the guy that people have said that G. Lewis is the new JVB, and I greatly appreciate it.
How you doing, JVB? Thank you. You know, that's a big insult.
Oh wow.
For him or for you?
Hey, I couldn't help that one.
Nice. Anyway, we got JVB and we got Duststorm as always, and we have a new person. She hasn't been on in like a year, not since JVB was hosting. Lady Luck from Gamertag Radio and DSO. I believe you're still part of DSO, correct?
Yes, I am.
Lady Luck.
I almost corrected you, G. Lewis, and said, no, not DSO, DSI.
And we all just be like, JVB, you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. That's not new, though.
It's a console. It's not a handheld. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we did have me and Fumo Jack, when we did the first Community Vibes, we interviewed Lady Luck because they won the Halo tournament that was going on there.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it was an all-girl team.
No, actually, she was in second place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I took second. James beat me by, like, the grudge match of 2 kills, so.
Could you beat Golden Girl? Could you beat Golden Girl, you think, of Halo 3?
I don't know. Maybe when I was playing my best and I played it regularly, but now I hardly touched.
Well, anyway, let's get on with the show here. Let's start off with Lady Luck, since we're doing ladies first. You know, we're trying to be gentlemanly here on PodTech. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you're doing, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be, I guess, intro would work, since most of everybody doesn't know me. I'm in college. I've been gaming for way too long. Catchphrase there. At least for me. I got Halo 1 and the original Xbox when it came out, and I've been playing since then. I went to both of the Midnight Madness for Halo 2 and Halo 3. Been to MLGs, been in clans for the past 4 years. Been around on Gamertag Radio for a few years, and then, you know, after talking with JVB and stuff, that ended up over on Podtacular for a bit. And so now I work over on Gamertag Radio. I co-host on the show and also, you know, help with news and write-ups and junk. And just right now, gaming whenever I have time.
What games would you say? I know you were playing Halo 3 before you signed on, but what games are you into lately?
I've really gotten stuck on racing and sports games.
Yeah, I've been really getting into racing games myself. But anyway, next time we got here is JVB. He needs no introduction. Why don't you let everybody know what you've been doing since your last time on Podtacular?
Well, the last time I was in Podtacular, we were talking about Fumo Jive's folding bike, so yes. That was a pleasure. Same thing, doing my community management work. We're talking about games, doing local events with SFX 360 and Gamertag Radio. You know, whenever there's something down here, we all work together anyway. And Destructoid as well.
I'm so jealous of hearing about everything that happens in South Florida. I'm living 8 hours away, and nothing happens in Atlanta.
You have no excuse not to drive down.
It's only 8 hours.
I mean,
yeah, come on.
Gas prices? I'm in college. Mandy, you should know above everybody else how much money it takes.
That's very true.
I would like to try, though, maybe once coming down for like a Vibes or something. But anyway, what's going on? JVB, what else you been up to?
Just, like I said, doing my community management stuff, talkingaboutgames.com, and right now I'm trying to enjoy all the good games that are out. On Xbox, I'm actually enjoying 1 vs. 100 a lot with the family, and on the PlayStation 3, I've been enjoying a lot of Killzone 2.
Something I've always wanted to ask you, but never got around to it. Can you tell me about your April Fool's joke about being the new Major Nelson of Sony? Can you say how that idea came from?
One day I decided, it was on a Friday, I believe. I decided to play a prank before driving to Orlando. I was actually going to meet Fumo Jive. And I put down on the Podtacular forums that I was going to get a job with Sony, and I was going to be their version of Major Nelson. And one of the demands was that I had to be purely Sony products. You know, everything I talked about had to be strictly Sony. So I said I couldn't do Podtacular because it was based off of an Xbox 360 game. And so I drove to Orlando, met up with Fumo, told him what I was doing, and then I look in the forums, and there was like this a few pages long of like, you know, hey, congratulations, all that's crap. How can they do that?
Some people thought it was a fake. Some people did that, but I thought it was pretty funny.
And I felt bad. I felt really bad because a lot of people were like, your grandmother would have been proud of you. You know, she had passed away not too long ago. You know, before that, not too much. Yeah. So Nelson Rodriguez called me and he goes, I heard, you know, from one of my forum members that you were working with Sony. And I'm like, holy crap, dude, that's a joke. So by the time I got home Monday, it had like over 3,000 views or something and like 300 comments, and people were like, I hope this is an April Fool's joke. Finally, I did admit to it, and there was so many responses afterwards that my apology got lost, so people thought it was still real for probably a week afterwards. Yeah, I wasn't too proud of that one because I did feel bad.
just to clear the air, JVB is not, even though I think he would do a great job, he's currently not the Major Nelson of Sony.
No, I'm not. I'm the Major Nelson of my toilet.
Wow.
And now coming live from JVB's bathroom.
Hey, everybody.
This is JVB.
As long as you don't drop your iPod in there, like we've had a few listeners write in saying that the show's been so funny that they've been dropping their iPods in the toilet.
Wow.
As long as you're not doing that. Anyway, let's get started here with what went down at E3. Of course, the two big announcements were
Halo 3 ODST?
Yeah, Halo 3 ODST. I just got a piece of mail from the G. Lewis residence. And Halo Reach, which was I think came out of left field personally, but first off, we'll start off with Halo 3 ODST, and let's see what everybody thought about, you know, the gameplay first. I thought it was very impressive. It looked Halo 3, but it looked like a new take on Halo 3. So, Lady Luck, I know we've been talking on Twitter and on various other places, and you said that you're kind of Haloed out. Is this new Halo 3 perspective might bring you back to Halo 3 a little more often?
It might. I don't really see the multiplayer changing much since the impression that they gave everyone was just, you know, the campaign and then the addition of three more maps. Though I'm excited because they did tell me that one of those maps is going to be a Midship remake. So.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, they said it will be an inspired remake, kind of like Guardian on Lockout, so it won't be. Exactly.
Won't be exactly, but
it'll probably be like the blackout of Midship. I mean, the blackout of Lockout. Sorry.
Well,
I hope not. This blackout's terrible.
Well, it made me happy because I feel like Halo needs more smaller maps, or Halo 3 at least. It has a lot of potential. I was very impressed with their take on how to do a story mode. The idea that you know, you go through and you fight as a person and, you know, you work through that kind of story and then you'll pick up items that'll be marked differently and those will suck you into a different part of the storyline and, you know, help you build up into what's been going on and what happened. Which, you know, I love stories. So I'm very excited that I will buy it just for the fact that I want to play through the campaign.
Now here's the big question. I heard you over on Camera Tag Radio saying, a big difference between Microsoft and Sony was presentation. So, how was the presentation of Halo 3 ODST? Did it catch your eye? You actually being sitting there Was it impressive and how they showed it in the presentation?
It was, you know, because they gave a brief trailer and then the demo, and the demo they showed you is actually different from what you played on the show floor. So you got two different tastes. Their demo was a brief section of the campaign, and you got to see how it interact, running around, you know, shooting, playing, going up to an item and being, hey, what's that, picking it up, and getting sucked into a different person for a different part of the story. And just the way that they worked it together, that, you know, you would watch the trailer, you'd see the demo campaign, and then they'd tell you, oh, well, this is what you'll be trying on the floor, made it be like, oh, so they're doing it differently now. You know, it has Halo 3 attached to it, but it's not Halo 3.
That's a good way to say it. JVB, what do you... You being a big Halo nut since probably day one of Podtac, or what did you first think watching it? I'm assuming you've seen the gameplay already, correct?
Yes, correct.
What do you think about it?
Well, I pretty much knew what to expect as far as art direction. I knew that there was no way it was going to top the visuals that we see now on Halo 3 because it's using the same engine.
Yeah.
The fact that it's in New Mombasa definitely gives them a platform to create a new art direction, so that both of them, you know, so that neither one of them are compared to the two. Like, oh, this doesn't look better than Halo 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, since Halo 2, people have been complaining that they wanted more story in New Mombasa. Well, here it is, but it's not through the eyes of Master Chief, it's through the eyes of an ODST rookie. And to be honest, I'm not Haloed out. I can never be Haloed out. Thing is, it seems more like they're experimenting with something that will, and this will tie into Reach, you know, my retarded theory. They're experimenting with this game.
Yeah.
To see a new, different type of gameplay that, especially online, that we might be seeing in Reach. Ooh. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it, you know, trying to, you know, I saw a lot of complaints, people calling it Halo 3.5, and what's the big deal between an ODST and a Spartan. So I had to throw in, you know, my two senses in there. And from what I heard, the gameplay is going to be different. Hopefully it's different enough to want me to play it all the time.
Yeah, but not the same. Like, you know, don't change it up too much, but, you know. Enough.
Yeah, well, the thing that's just the part that really disappoints me the most, obviously, is the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$60 is still a little too rough to, I mean, I can't just forget about that. That surprised the hell out of me. I assumed it was going to be $20.
Well,
they made it seem like an add-on.
We're going to be talking about that in full detail later on in the ODST segment coming on here. And let's move on to Duststorm. Duststorm, what do you think about ODST, of course, you're a big Halo nut.
Yeah.
Nothing else needs to be said.
Well, I really liked for people who know me in Halo, I really like the storyline that Halo presents. And I think what Bungie is doing with ODST is really opening up the storyline. For those that read the books, you know that the first book was before the first Halo game, the second book was during the first Halo game, and then the third book was in between 1 and 2. And there was really no books that really filled in anything after that until you got to The Ghost of Onyx.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that Bungie's opening up New Mombasa as more story is just a thrill to me, because that's more information on not necessarily what's going on with Halo and the Covenant, but what's taking place on Earth before Halo 3 that you didn't get to see while you were away as the Master Chief. So I think a lot of that, for the hardcore Halo fans that really enjoy the storyline, I think that's really going to enhance the experience for them. For people who play multiplayer, I think Firefight is, from what I saw with the demos and all the the playing from the Bungie employees, it seems like that's going to be a really popular new multiplayer feature that everyone's just going to enjoy. Is you just drop down and just fight a bunch of Covenant. And I think people have been asking for an AI, like, in multiplayer. So I think it's a good compensation on Bungie's part, as it's multiplayer in the term of you have all your, you can get up to three friends and go in and bash at it, but you still don't have that where it's two opposing teams and you're going objective. So I think it's a good balance in there. So yeah. I think fans that want the AI will either really enjoy it or think that it's a cop out on Bungie's part. So see how that works.
Dustin, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to?
The thing I'm looking forward to is that the Halo games have always been in a linear fashion. So I'm really looking forward to how Bungie's going to implement the new open world view that ODST is going to bring. I haven't played Marathon, so I don't know what those games are like, but from the Halo games, it's always been a linear storyline and you can only follow one path, and now you've got multiple paths to follow, so you can kind of go through campaign and play it differently every time. So, I mean, it's not like it's the game changes necessarily based on the scenario, but you still have options instead of only having to go one way. So that's what I'm really looking forward to in ODST is the open world.
Yeah, Firefight I'm also looking forward to.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I would love to play. That's one thing I think we talked about a long time ago when Halo 3 first came out. We were missing like a multiplayer aspect that was more for just people playing against the AI rather than playing against other people. Because if you're not good at Halo, it's very frustrating to play Halo multiplayer, so I've heard. Duststorm, you want to elaborate on that? No, I'm just kidding.
Lady Luck, were you able to play Firefight?
Yes. I sat in line for an hour and a half.
Was it worth it?
Can you explain what you experienced?
So basically, they explained it to us that when you play Firefight, it's almost like playing Horde in Gears, in that you have, it goes through kind of like rounds of enemies showing up without so much of the stopping in between. And you're limited in that you'll only get a certain number of lives for the entire group. And that, you know, as you pass through a round, you can gain an extra life for everyone. But in interest of time and everybody getting to test it out, you know, on the show floor, they basically gave you unlimited lives and you played for 10 minutes.
Nice.
It was an experience, because you got to really test out the difference that you would see between what was Halo 3 as the Master Chief and what would be ODST as, you know, ODST as Marines, you know, who don't have the same capabilities. You go from having the shield and your health to having stamina and health. And it's kind of like a flashback to Halo 1, where you have a health bar and you can run around and pick up health packs and get your health back.
Yeah. And there is fall damage, correct?
Yes, there's fall damage. Actually, that was my biggest problem in the map that they gave us. it was several levels. And the enemies will, you know, appear in different areas of it, so it was very easy to be, you know, all the way up top and have them appear in the middle. And so you'd be like, oh, it's nothing, you know, I'm Master Chief, I have shields. And you jump off and then you'd land on the bottom and be like, crap, there goes all my stamina.
That's never good. But it is a nice kind of, not, I wouldn't say 100% new, but I would say new to Halo 3. And maybe like a revamp from more like Halo 1. I wouldn't just say call it new, but let's
move on. I was gonna say it felt like it sounds almost like a revamp of Halo 1.
Or what Halo 3 would have been if we would have kept the Halo 1 style. Keep going. Anyway, we got a few new things that were announced about Halo ODST from the event, specifically two new weapons. I think both these two weapons, we probably won't see them in multiplayer other than Firefight, but it would be very nice to see them. But up first, let's have Duststorm tell us about the new pistol. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about
it. Okay, So for diehard Halo 1 fans, Bungie made pretty much the announcement that they have the old Halo 1 pistol back. As they showed in the demo, it's you shoot as fast as you can. One shot headshots will take out most enemies.
I think it's only on grunts, but we might.
Well, grunts and jackals.
Yeah.
Brutes, you're gonna have to shoot a couple, but it's pretty much shoot as fast as you can, kind of like the Halo 1 pistol, and it's also silenced. The SMG, which someone else is gonna get onto that later, but for the people who really love the Halo 1 pistol, you're probably gonna really like what Bungie's bringing back to this. And I don't see this really coming into, matchmaking at all, at least for Halo 3 matchmaking, cause...
You don't think so?
No, just because how the gameplay is right now, and I don't think it would necessarily balance out.
It overpowered.
Yeah, I think for how Bungie developed Halo 3 matchmaking, it wouldn't balance out with any of the other weapons. So maybe I could see the silenced SMG making a possible appearance, but as you've seen with all the new maps that they released, they haven't released any new weapons yet. So that's kind of making me think that they're probably not going to release any new weapons for Halo 3 matchmaking at all. At least that's how I see it.
I think that this was probably Bungie's last hurrah with Halo 3. I think the pistol's cool, but I don't think we'll see any of these new weapons in the actual multiplayer experience. But it is on two different discs, and I highly doubt that we'll see it.
Yeah. No, it'll be in Firefight.
Yeah, it will be, but not like MLG style. No. So. Mandy, JVB, you guys have anything to say about the pistol? Anything?
I thought it was awesome because I think of all the games, Halo 1 was probably my favorite, and especially for the pistol. It is very powerful. I mean, when I played the game, you know, it was like, oh, SMG, because that's your primary weapon when you tested it at E3. But I was just like, you know, pistol the entire time. I think it ended up with like 20-something headshots for it. So
Did it play well?
Yes. I did like how they ran through the system with the pistol. So.
Another new weapon they announced was an SMG, but it was silenced. And like the new pistol, you could also zoom in with, I guess it's an ODS thing, that you can probably zoom in with every weapon with their HUD. But the silenced SMG, they said on the Bungie podcast, is they said that it's more powerful than the pistol if you learn how to use it correctly. I haven't played it, so I guess we'll see how it goes with the rapid fire. And it actually shoots pretty long range. It's not just short range anymore from what they said. I haven't played it yet. And by watching gameplay, it looks like it's too far, but it looks like it's far enough to be able to be scoped in. But it's more or less just silenced SMG. I mean, that's pretty much it. Besides everything I've already explained about it, I think it'll bring a new thing for the ODSTs, is they will not be able to dual wield. And I don't know if they confirmed it, but they had mentioned before that there will be no battle rifle or assault rifle in this game.
Right.
As far as I understand,
on the topic of battle rifles, I was looking around before we started recording at a couple other forums, and there was a lot of concern about the pistol being kind of like the BR replacement for Halo ODST. What do you guys think about that?
Of course they shoot him in the head. So that, I mean, you know, it's...
Do you think it's like a battle rifle equivalent, or do you think it's different enough to not necessarily be considered a battle rifle?
Of course it doesn't do with three shots, and I would have to see how, you know, like four or five shots will kill a brute. I'll have to see how many pistol shots will kill a brute. But from looking at it, it looks fairly similar, and they call it the auto mag, or from what I've been hearing on the Bungie podcast. So it is automatic. You can just hold it down, and it just sprays, boom, boom, boom. You know, it shoots pretty fast. So you guys can tell if you were watching any of the gameplay. But maybe from a gameplay perspective, but just understanding what a pistol and a battle rifle difference is, it's probably not the same exact thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's got the horse bullet in it, or what they used to say the old pistol used to have. And Battle rifle is just a big gun. But anyway, what do you guys think? I'll start with JVB. Do you think there'll be any other new weapons? Because they had hinted at that this won't be the only weapons that'll be in there. Do you think they'll be seeing anything else? Maybe a smaller rocket launcher or something?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I didn't see any type of rocket launcher. I saw the laser.
Yeah,
laser grenade cannon. Launcher.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if there would be some smaller version of a rocket launcher or a grenade launcher like Blady looks at.
Yeah, look at that. That's the only thing that I could guess. But they said nothing will be dual wielded. I don't know if that means you can't pick up plasma pistols or you can't pick up two of them. Could you pick up the enemy's weapons while you're playing Lady Luck?
You could. They had it very limited in that. I think, let me rephrase. I don't want to say limited. The only specific weapons, as far as I know, were showing up, and they, you know, were just basically like, oh, well, these new ones we're showing you here are what we're going to be showing you for now. So it wasn't a straight up yes, they'll have other weapons, or no, they won't.
Yeah.
Because I know that I actually picked up, I held on to the pistol and picked up a fuel rod cannon.
Oh.
For any of you that might have remembered that, and just kind of ran around with one of those.
Oh, yeah. Fuel rod cannon is in Halo. You can't pick that, you can't put that in multiplayer, I believe, on Forge. If I am
no, I think it was only you could pick it up in campaign.
Yeah,
kinda there are a couple maps that you can put it on.
Oh, there are.
Sandbox is one of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't have Mythic, so I guess that would be one of the things I can do. But
it's on Foundry too.
Again, I'm dumb. well, that's cool. Seeing these two weapons definitely bring some new stuff to. I mean, it's you won't be a Spartan. They say you'll be shorter. You'll be weaker. I mean,
obviously.
By watching the gameplay,
you won't be able to dual wield either.
It's different to. I mean, from what I could tell, you couldn't pick up any of the weapons you normally would dual wield. I could not pick up as two at a time when I was playing, but I can't guarantee that. Obviously.
Well, they had said already that there won't be dual wieldable weapons. So
okay.
They had announced that. I believe a while ago when they were talking about how you'll be from a different perspective. Anyway, let's go on to that. Let's go on to that next. We got Halo universe is definitely changing. 2009 has been the new perspective year on the Halo universe. First with Halo Wars, now with ODST. Do you guys think that Bungie's trying to milk this thing and Microsoft's trying to milk this thing, are you guys interested in this actually? JVB, why don't you start it out and tell us what you think?
Well, I remember stating a long time ago that I felt that the Halo universe had the potential to go many different routes, a la Star Trek or Star Wars, where they can make so many different side quests with all the characters that you see in the novels. And apparently, as we talk about Reach a little later on, they're doing so. So there's always been that potential of milking the franchise. It's a successful one, so why not milk it for what it's worth? I'll accept what we see with ODST, but Reach needs to. I mean, if it's not Killzone 2 quality in visuals, and I mean, I'd be highly pissed off, to put it nicely.
I was listening, I believe it was the post game report where they were talking about your show, the one where they announced all the new guest host thing, where they were talking about how, I believe it was that one, I'm probably wrong, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but did you guys talk about how you would be happy with a game if they just came out with the same visuals, the same stuff, but just new campaigns, new weapons, like that? Would you guys, I mean, Halo's been doing that for, I mean, it changes a little bit. Gameplay is obviously not exactly the same about with the health meter in Halo 3. That's really random. You don't exactly know when you're going to die, really. There's no certain health meter.
The one thing that has always been connected to the Halo franchise, it's its gameplay. The controls are smooth. Online, there's no other control scheme. Just the feel of it. None of the other games compare.
Yeah,
not Call of Duty, not World at War, Killzone 2, none of them. So that's always going to be there. That foundation, I mean, they created a great scheme. The feel of it just works. But nowadays, you see franchises stepping it up. I mean, look at Call of Duty 4. Obviously, it came out later than Halo 3. So obviously, it was going to have a graphical edge. But we need to see more now. You know, and Bungie can do it. So I have faith in them.
What do you think about the actual new perspective, though, about I was reading about how grunts and jackals and brutes look a lot bigger. I guess Lee Luckley would know this from a better perspective. She's either playing it. They look bigger in the game. Do you think that would add a new perspective just to let you know how, you know, frail the humans were compared to the Covenant? I mean, other than Master Chief, of course.
I definitely think it does, because the game play, like, it still has all the basic elements of being Halo, but you notice right away the differences that you're not the Master Chief. And by changing the perspectives of the size and maybe to an extent a little bit the look and how dangerous they are of the enemies, you're making it much more obvious that you aren't the Master Chief, that you only have, you know, minimal armor and a health bar, and that there's only so much you can do before you die. So you definitely have that thing where you're like, crap, I'm not the Master Chief anymore, and you have to think a lot harder and play differently to an extent to get the same results. So making those changes can definitely, you know, affect how you play the game.
Awesome.
Do you like the open world aspect? I remember Duststorm touched on this, but I know a lot of people, I've been listening to other podcasts, and they're saying that open world, they're tired of lugging between two different parts of the map, and like Bungie even said that there's no sequence. You can go to this guy over here and go to this guy way over here, and they kind of hinted at there will be a manual, I mean like an automatic go-to button, but they hadn't actually said if there was or not. Probably like a rail system, but they hadn't said whether they're actually going to. But they had hinted at it during one of the IGN interviews when they were doing it with Joe Stadium. What do you guys think about the open world thing? JB, we'll do it with you first. What do you think about open world potential for this game?
I definitely am, and no pun intended, open to an open world environment. it would open up a lot of opportunities to, especially in co-op, where, you know, one person can I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Easter egg skulls, whatever you want to call them, thrown around. And with a bigger open world, it certainly gives them potential to add a lot of different Easter eggs throughout the maps in single player, which they're pretty famous for. And that if it wasn't for Logan Payne helping me out with Halo 3, I wouldn't have found most of the skulls that I had. So they make that a little more challenging. Well, what happened?
I was going to say, the skulls are for people with way too much time that they want to just cover every single inch of everything.
Well, I'm sorry that I want to cover every single inch.
No, I understand. I did the same thing, so.
I actually found the skulls for myself personally. I just either had somebody show me or I looked it up. I didn't actually go looking. So. But one last thing I'd like to say before we move on to the pricing of ODST. There was a thing during the in the trailer where it says "Remember Reach" and it's on there for a split second. Anybody want to speculate on what you think that ODST might be hinting at something from Reach about? You think maybe some of the old gameplay, but it's a flashback. We may see a little bit of glimpse of Reach. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I'm just assuming it's letting you know that there will be something. You know, obviously there was a Halo Reach title announced for the future. So I'm assuming it would have something to do with that.
Okay. Dustin, what do you think about that? You got any other speculations?
That's pretty much what I'm thinking is it's probably going to have something to do with the new title that they released for Halo Reach.
So that I'm assuming that Reach was before that actually happened. Well,
yeah. Remember Reach? You can't remember something that happened before.
Yeah.
Reach. I mean, Reach was the big event that happened right before Halo 1 came out.
Halo 1.
Halo. Yep.
So that was kind of like the whole beginning of the Halo video game franchise.
Duststorm, you've read the book in detail, right? Reach.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Spartan at the end of the, oh wait, hold on, we're not even in reach yet. We'll talk about that later. let's go to the pricing of ODST. Let's just finish this out with the pricing. JVB has already said something about that he's not really enjoying it too much. I'll go here and run down the specs. It will ship with two discs and a full retail, you know, like cover and whatnot. And one disc for the campaign and firefight. Mostly all the ODST stuff. Another one will be for the full multiplayer experience with all the maps. I'm gonna guess every all 24 maps from what it had said, and with 21 that we have now, and then three more that will be coming out. Some people said that they don't want to pay $60, but you know they probably will. And Bungie's trying to make it worthwhile by doing that and having a beta for Halo Reach. JVB, you already talked about this before. What do you think about the price? Is it justice, or are we just paying it because it's a Halo, and they know we'll pay?
And that's exactly what it is. So they're gonna add the beta code, and of course we remember Crackdown.
Oh yes, great game.
Crackdown sold, and I'm glad that Crackdown was a good game and people enjoyed it. Not that ODST is not going to be good, but you're pretty much giving people no choice, because of course you know there's so many millions of fans for the Halo series, and you're gonna hang a carrot in front of them and have them face it, you know, until Halo Reach comes out. So you're gonna dangle this beta code, and we're gonna fall for it, and we're gonna buy it, and for an add-on. I mean, look at what they did with GTA. They made a totally unique story with and I keep thinking of Sons of Liberty. They charged $20, and it was downloadable. There's no reason why
ODST should be so much.
Yes, yeah, I really find it hard. I can't justify it. I mean, yes, it's going to come with maps. Okay, cool.
But, we already have most of them.
Yeah, exactly. I paid for the damn things.
So you're buying the maps twice.
Buying the map twice. And then I'm mainly buying it because I definitely want to get my hands on the beta.
Yeah, that'd be something interesting to see. I will admit I bought Crackdown because of the beta.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit that. And then I played Crackdown with one of my good buddies, Brent Gamer, and we played that thing for hours, Brent. Crackdown was not disappointing, and I would assume ODST went out either. ODST just looks cool, and I'm a Halo junkie. So, what do you think about the controller?
Difference is you got a full game from Crackdown.
Yeah. Well, ODST might be
That's what I'm hoping. That is a total.
Supposed to be. I think they said 10-hour gameplay.
Whoa. And firefight. Firefight's pretty.
Dang.
Yeah, 10
hours. That's almost like a full game.
Well, I beat Halo in about 6 hours, so.
Yeah, I got it at Midnight Madness, 6 hours.
Yeah, so. I hope it's not all just running from one side to another. Let's hope that it's actually, you know, playing for that 10 hours. Layla, what do you think about the price?
I'm pretty much with JVB about it. I mean, this is one of the instances where you see that they are taking advantage of the franchise because there's so many fans that they will buy it just because it's Halo. I mean, look at Halo Wars. Half the people probably weren't very aware of playing an RTS on a console, but it had Halo on it and they sold, you know, over 1 million copies. And this, I think, is to an extent going to be like that, is people buy it not really thinking that, well, now I'm going to, you know, spend extra money for maps that I already have. And the beta for me is cool. I mean, as you guys said, the universe and the story potential for the game is so immense that I will buy it to play through the campaign and know what happens. But it's still, I mean, full retail price, I think I might wait a bit before I pick it up.
I mean, if anybody, I think JVB's part of it on the Expert Zone. Are you part of the Expert Zone still, JVB, on Microsoft?
Not really sure. I mean, I'm still on MVP. I have no idea.
Anyway, on the expert zone.
Expert zone. Yeah.
I don't know if Dusty. I don't know if I've showed you about it, but they'll be having it for $10 when it releases. So if you guys want to give that a shout or look at, maybe I can show you guys how to do that after the show.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
Would you guys pay $100 for this controller in this game? I can't think of anybody who's over the age of 14 and makes under parents that make under $100,000 that would pay $100 for this. I'm not buying into the controller.
I am a wired controller person. I hate wireless. I like the weight of the wired one better, and I play a lot better with a wired controller. So, despite the fact that they said there were going to be hints on the controller that would hint to stuff in Halo Reach, I really don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. Maybe to all the Halo fans out there that collect everything, I could see them getting it, but for me, I'm just going to stick with my original wired controller.
The oldie but goodie.
Yep.
All right, guys, we're going to finish that off with ODST. Looks to be a good game. It'll be coming out the 22nd of September. Is that correct? I believe. I didn't write down the date, but I believe that's the date.
Although when I pre-ordered it from GameStop, they still had it listed as September 1st. And now it was like a few days ago.
They know you're on Podtech.
So
that makes all the difference.
I think
exactly.
I was listening to somebody today. It might have actually been Destructoid, and they were saying that they got prototype early. For the game being out, and they actually got it from GameStop early. I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but I remember them talking. And they were doing a review of prototype, and I know there's no way they recorded it before the game came. Anyway, next up, we're gonna go to the Halo Reach. We had Natal announced. We had Mag. We had Knights of the Old Republic. Okay, all that was good.
The Old Republic.
The old. My bad. Sorry, Mandy. Thank you for
most amazing trailer ever.
I would kind of agree, but this was
that's my, all the so the game can this, match that trailer.
Oh, if it's the whole reason why I think I'm gonna buy a new computer because of that game. But anyway, we're going on the Halo Reach here. For me, it was my highlight. I'm not even kidding. I'm not saying it because we're on a Halo podcast. I was just in awe of. I was dead set on Bungie never making another Halo game, and just knowing that Bungie's making it has just got me excited. If it would have been anybody else, it would have been the same thing for Halo Wars. I wasn't really too excited, but you know, I figured there'd be something screwy with it. And then when I played it, there were a few things screwy with it. And I'm just glad that Bungie's doing this, and I'm very excited about Halo Reach. The announcement caught me off guard. I was surprised. I didn't want to talk to anybody about what happened at E3 until I got home and watched it. I got home from work and I watched it, and it was I had to just pause the feed and was just like,
well, download the trailer on Xbox Live in full HD.
You can see it a lot better. You can see
and appreciate it a lot more.
And we're going to go here back with the announcement, the official, when it actually happened. I want to hear from Lady Luck first. I know she's not really all about Halo, but I mean.
I should probably rephrase it. It's not that I'm not about Halo. It's that for as awesome as the online multiplayer is, it doesn't vary much. So it kind of gets boring after a while, and you got to take a break and then come back again, and it'll be fine.
Okay.
The storyline is something different. I will probably buy every Halo game eventually, maybe not when they come out, but eventually, so I can get the story, because I have also read all except for the latest book. So I'm completely immersed in the universe. So
That's good.
Like, I had been hearing rumors about Halo Reach before E3, so I wasn't entirely surprised.
Oh, I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea.
There were
leaks all over the place about Reach.
Yeah,
I didn't see him anywhere.
I heard something. I don't remember where it was, but I heard something very similar to that. But I think it was like a few months after Halo 3 came out, and there was all the buzz. It's like, is this really over? And I saw something. This could have been Bungie.net, but it's like, There was a strong possibility that Bungie was not over and they were going to do a prequel. And so when they made the announcement of Reach, it's like, okay, I was kind of
I had no idea. I was just like,
really?
I mean, the only news I get is from Joystick, and I guess they didn't cover this or something or another, but
it was a rumor, so I don't think it was anything official.
The only rumor that I heard that sounded like it had any value to it, so that's the one I stuck with.
And that was right. Remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, but remember they were saying there was going to be another Halo game until the new Xbox was out.
Yeah, that's what I had heard as well. They said that Peter Jackson was going to be working on there, and then Peter Jackson now is doing something for Ubisoft or E3 or something. He's not even. I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on with Peter Jackson project for Halo.
Who knows? Well, maybe it could be Reach.
Who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited because the way that they presented the trailer, speculation, I'll say that first, speculation leads me to believe, hopefully, that it will be the prequel and that it's set, you know, that the very basic in the book Fall of Reach right before the lead up into Halo 1, that you get the experience of the Battle of Reach as it begins before Halo 1 and we assume runs into Halo 1. Now, you can't know because the books didn't exactly cover it, and in Halo 1 you were kind of someplace else. But there's a lot of potential for what's happening there with Marines and the other Spartans and everything. So I'd really hope that that's the direction they're going to take it.
This could be a take on the whole new franchise about how, and the Ghosts of Onyx, about how the Spartan team leaves Reach and they go to the Onyx world, and there's a whole other team of Spartans that they don't even know about. Everybody thought was gone.
Yeah.
They brought that up, didn't they? In the books, they bring up stuff like that several times. So there's so much potential for it, as we've said over and over again with the universe and the potential story, that I really hope they take this and make something out of it.
Well, I'm just really...
They can't slack.
I'm just really cautious about the fact, because from the trailer, other than the fact that they announced it was a first-person shooter, I'm not really sure what to expect gameplay-wise, because out of the first-person shooter...
It'll be Halo.
It'll be Halo. It'll be... The gameplay style will be probably very similar to the Halo we have now, since it's a first-person shooter.
You have to think about it, that the armor in Halo 2 and Halo 3 was new in Halo 2. That same armor was not around before Halo 2, so...
What is going to distinguish this game between the Halo that we know now and Halo 1 and...
It has to be magnitude. That's the only...
I got a feeling that we're going to see squad play in this game.
Okay, because that's what we're going to... But...
Yeah, because...
The last
thing you hear is that
he says... He announces Spartan team, and then he says Sierra, whatever his name is, we're not going. He says we're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere, exactly. Yeah. So if you've read the book, Fall of Reach, you know that there's plenty of Spartans at Reach. Then they show a picture of silhouettes with four Spartans, I believe, each holding different weapons.
I think there's seven Spartans. There's more than four.
Poster?
Yeah,
there's more than four.
Yeah, there's more than four. That's showing that you're gonna either have control of each Spartan and get a perspective, their perspective, or you're gonna either, you know, each Spartan's gonna have a squad or something. This is the opportunity for us to finally seeing gameplay in New Mombasa. Now we're gonna finally gets to see more Spartans.
I'm pretty sure Halo 4 will play like Halo 1, 2, and 3. I don't think there'll be squad commands. There's nothing used for the D-pad right now. I just think it's going to play like Halo, but I think it's going to be the magnitude of what's going on, because Reach was the biggest thing to happen in the Halo, like biggest amount of like of quantity going on, and just the Covenant attacking and the humans attacking back. I think it'll play like, hey, I do remember though, right when Halo 3 launched, they were talking about how Bungie basically gobbled up all the people who worked on Advanced Warfighter, basically hired that entire team onto Bungie. I guess they're the ones that did ODST or something. But I remember hearing that. And
really?
And but I still think it'll play like Halo. What do you think, Mandy?
I don't know. I mean, it's just too early, and there's too much, I guess, just speculation. Because it could be that you only, you know, it plays the same way in that it's, you know, FPS Halo 1 through 3 style, but that you're playing almost like co-op squad style. I mean, there's so many potential and so many options they have, and we won't really, we can't even imagine until they give us more, so.
It's not, remember, it's not Halo 4, it's Halo Reach.
It's Halo Reach.
So,
so they can go any direction. I mean, Master Chief was in Halo in Reach. From what I can remember,
he was there at the very beginning.
Wasn't there like excessively, but he was.
Yeah, because that's when they blasted off.
I think you might run into John. I don't think you'll play as him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we definitely need to experience the new Spartans.
Do you guys remember at the end of when they first announced Halo 3 and they were talking about what's the next Halo? They were talking about a third person Halo game.
Well, that's.
Oh,
I mean,
wait, no. They announced this first person. Never mind. They announced this first person. Anyway, sorry. But sorry, I didn't think about that until I just read on here. It does say that they announced it being first person.
Yeah, so let's speculate a little bit. Let me say something out of left field. What if Halo Reach wasn't a first person? What if it was a third person squad based game?
I think that it would play out like Superhuman Gal or Graw. I think that because after seeing the new people working on Bungie that were, most of them were from there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what kind of ingenuity do you want to see? I mean, obviously, the Halo franchise needs to step up.
Smart AIs.
I don't, I like the core gameplay. I really liked the campaign play of Halo 2. I didn't really like the campaign play of Halo 3, and I would like it so that Halo 3, the story seemed to be, you know, you could kind of plan what was going to happen. You're like, oh great, okay, you knew when the flood were going to come. You could just tell, and
you knew when everything was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I would just like to see from Halo Reach, even though it says at the start of the trailer, it says you know how it ends before you start.
Yeah,
or from the beginning.
Well, yeah. I think that's just touching on the other games. It's like it is a prequel.
But I just don't want to be able to guess what's going to happen. And Halo 3, I didn't like the game. The gameplay seemed to be more for the multiplayer side and not for the campaign side. I would like it to be more the gameplay was made for campaign, and you played the same way in multiplayer, but the gameplay was for the campaign. Because it just seems like the Halo 3 gameplay was for multiplayer and not for the actual campaign. That's why
that's kind of falling over everywhere, though, because you can't, you know, attribute it just to Halo. Everyone's become so focused on online and multiplayer that the story mode campaign arenas of the games have just kind of fallen off, and you see it more in Halo 3, I think, because everybody wanted the online so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think
it makes me sad? I want the damn story, people.
Do you think? you think with Halo 3? I personally think Forge and all the community stuff came out of left field. I was not even thinking about any of that. Mm. Do you guys think that the clans will come back? What else do you think that Bungie has in store for us for Reach? Anything other than, like, do you think they bring Forge back? Will they bring some new things we never even thought of back? Will they make it easier to make a machinima? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, you look at Forza. Forza has an even better video editor now for Forza 3 coming up.
Yeah.
Now, if they can use that video editor for Forza 3 and implement it into Reach, then, yeah, machinima would be awesome. I mean, that would create a whole new community around an already strong one.
Yeah.
You look at the Forge community, it's huge. People are doing some amazing things with Forge. Now add video to that. I mean, we already have photos that we can share. And we can share video, but we can't edit it.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be full map creation?
Well, I don't think Bungie's ever going to release that ability.
They make too much money off of
selling
maps.
Yeah, I don't think Bungie's ever going to get out of place. Other than the community that's already been made with Halo Custom Edition, where you can already make full-fledged maps.
What I would like to see in multiplayer is more variety. I would like to be a grunt.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, like, you couldn't, realistically, a grunt in the campaign dies in one shot from a battle rifle, and that's
I mean, not so much a grunt.
You don't like the dinosaurs?
It would look funny to see a grunt jumping up and down everywhere, but at least a brood or someone, you know,
elite.
Microsoft is in charge of
elite is the dino.
Okay, mm-hmm. You guys, Microsoft is in charge of the Halo IP with Sony getting a lot of hype from Mag. From Killzone 2, and just the scale of it. Do you think that they might be pushing Bungie to do scale correctly?
They need to. I mean, it's almost unfair to compare Killzone 2 and Halo 3 because even though Killzone 2 looks like there's this grand scale, there are parts where it's almost rail type, where you have point A and point B, and there's only one way to get to point B. Whereas Halo, you can, at least with Halo 3, there was some sort of, there was a little bit of freedom there. But if they're going to go with this grand scale, I mean, how do they compete visually? Because now that I look at Halo 3, of course, it's an older title. But when I look at it now, it's like, okay, this feels cartoony. Granted, when I'm playing it, that totally changes.
Well,
looking at it, I'm like, okay, it's cartoony. My next Halo game, I'm hoping that it's grittier. Obviously they'll improve. I mean, that's a no given, but how are they going to improve? How much are they going to improve? Are they just going to give us the same old, and add in a few little lights on our armor? Or are they going to, really make the environments? I mean, Reach needs to look totally different than anything we've seen before.
Do you think that would you buy it if it was the same?
You know I will.
Eventually.
Uh-huh.
I'd buy it just for the story, but
You know what? Worst case, I'll rent it for the story. I mean, I enjoyed Halo Wars to a point, but if it wasn't because it was attached to the Halo universe, I wouldn't have played. I wouldn't have put any time to it.
Yeah.
One thing that's got me kind of concerned is I see this like in a lot of sci-fi films or other prequels come out. It's like they present you with a lot better technology than what was before.
Well, like in Star Wars?
Yeah, like Star Wars. Well, like in Halo Wars too, a little bit.
Well, if you want to think about it, in the Halo universe, the humans got rocked after Reach. Everything was going badass for the humans before Reach. And then after they got rocked, so maybe they didn't have as much.
I'm just hoping they don't like turn the Halo universe upside down and be like, "Oh, we have these uber weapons that do massive destruction." And I want to see Bungie make it very well balanced and stick to the Halo story, and not go out of the way of the books and be like, "Oh, we're just making up our own thing."
Do you think? Mm-hmm. Equipment will be back?
If it is, I will be really disappointed. Maybe a couple of things would be okay, but if you have like a mass spectrum like you see now, like if I see a regenerator or a bubble shield, I'm just going to be like, what the heck, Bungie?
There's other stuff. Well, you just want to see it better, because, I mean, even if it's in a different part of the timeline. I mean, that doesn't mean that they can just kind of throw together something that's exactly the same and expect people to be happy with it. Yeah. I mean, they'll buy it because it's Halo, but then a lot of people are going to get pissed off. So
I don't want Bungie to make the game just because it's a Halo title.
Yeah.
I mean,
now,
I really hope Bungie isn't falling into that kind of reality.
Mario?
That, yeah. Like Mario. Like, just because it has the title, it's going to be good.
Let's make the same game and add four people at once. Let's just do the same thing.
Well, you know, I mean, the reality is it's a very popular franchise.
It is, but I don't want to see
it was kind of to
destroy the franchise.
I would say Halo was so good, the reason why Star Wars was so good. Star Wars, you didn't see anything like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
When it came out. And then when Halo came out, there was no console shooter that played like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was always complicated, and like Rainbow Six was complicated as hell. And
for your feeble mind. But let me throw something really wild out there.
What's up?
Because we know that Bungie broke away from Microsoft. What if by the time Halo Reach comes out, it becomes a multi-platform title?
No. Microsoft owns the Halo IP. No. Bungie doesn't own the Halo IP.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Guaranteed. That's the only reason how Ensemble can make it.
Well, what about the PC? Because you already have Halo 2 on the PC.
Not even there.
Well, I mean, I would say PC. We would have to see Halo 3 before we see Reach.
I really want to see Halo 3 on the PC, and I would like to see it cross-platform, but I've heard news that if it even comes out, there's really no easy way to make it cross-platform. So
there's no way. I don't think we would ever see Halo 3 on the PC, because if you wanted to do Forge and all that stuff on a PC, you would have to have an expensive computer system, I think.
Not really.
Well, that's going to be like other games.
I mean, if you look at Halo Customer,
you just hack everything.
And the H2V map, it doesn't take too much to run that.
It would just seem like it would take up too much stuff on the computer. I think
if they made Halo 3 for the computer and made it more open than they did for Halo 2, like make it similar to Halo Custom Edition, I think tons and tons of people would buy it.
I think that for the Halo, you got to remember that the IP is not owned by Bungie. Microsoft makes all the decisions, and I think that they're trying to move toward the Xbox being your entertainment everything.
Absolutely true.
So,
that's for sure.
Twitter and Facebook announcements.
So let me do another crazy. Let me throw another crazy idea.
What's up?
With the announcement of Perfect Dark hitting Xbox Live Arcade, can we see a potential Halo 1 remake on Xbox Live Arcade?
You can download the title through the old.
No, but I'm talking about revamped with multiplayer. Same way with Perfect Dark.
I would have to. I don't know what the file size for Halo 1 is. File size would fit, then I could see it happening. I wouldn't buy it.
Well, but, down the line, we're gonna have games streaming games.
I was gonna say if it's exactly Halo 1 and they just add in multiplayer, I would buy it.
So let's say this scenario happens. Would people jump to Halo 1 and totally forget about the other sequels?
Possibly. I think the people who are on Halo 3 are sticking to it. There's a lot of haters about Halo 3, and I think it's...
There's a lot, yeah.
I think it's just because they suck at it, and that's got to be the...
I think if a Halo 1 multiplayer comes out, there's going to be a good user, a good player base that will move over, but I don't think it's going to be totally lost to Halo 1. I think still a lot of people will play Halo 3.
And it would be cool, but I don't think it'll happen.
Well, I think that just so many people came in on Halo 2 and Halo 3 that they don't really know the goodness that was Halo 1.
Yep.
So it'll have that, you know, player base, but there's just too many people that came in, you know, later in the franchise that really won't care, and you'll see that the majority, not all, but the majority of people that would pick it up would probably be people that started on Halo 1.
You
know what? Word of mouth goes a long way, and if, you know, we can't deny that core that started on Halo.
That's why I bought an Xbox.
It's, you know, it's enormous. I mean, it's a building block. And so there's no way if Halo 1 came out, and I mean, it would just generate so much buzz all over the place that out of curiosity, same people that have grown into the Halo universe from Halo 2 to and 3 would, out of curiosity, they would automatically jump to Halo.
Well, let's say this. I know Podtacular as a company, as an organizational size, would probably love to see that, but because it would definitely get people on the site. But as a host and as a gamer, I think that we need to move on. And Halo 1 happened. I mean, would it be cool? Would they make money? Possibly, yes. Would I play it? Would I like to see it? I personally liked Halo 1 for the campaign. I did not like the multiplayer. Xbox Kinect was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I hated playing that. I think that ruined my Halo 1 multiplayer experience for forever. I suck at Halo 1.
You ever played LAN, though? I mean, LAN was...
Well, see, that's one thing, because, like, we had... Actually, 2 years ago, we had a Halo 1 tourney here at university I go to, and a lot of people really got into that, and we have like 2 LAN parties, and sometimes Halo 1 pops up, so cool. And as far as storyline goes, I think Halo 1 has the best storyline out of all 3 games.
That's back before they cared about online multiplayer.
Yeah. They were just trying to make it easy playing shooting.
The game was just really in depth, and I thought it was laid out really well. Halo 2 was just frustrating as heck, and then Halo 3 was very predictable, and it seemed short.
Yeah.
Halo 3 was
Halo 1 was definitely the best story that they had.
I hated the library, just for the fact.
Me too, dude. Okay, no.
That was the worst level, especially on Legendary to play.
Oh my god.
It was.
No, I co-opted with my dad. And his favorite level was the library. So that's the one he always wanted to play.
Jesus. Oh, nice.
Like 2 hours speed on Legendary.
Exactly. Dang. That's what we played it on. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's just...
the memories.
It would be cool to see. I would probably be inclined because, you know, as being a host down here, I would probably buy it and play it. But,
Man, you'd be all over it.
I don't see that.
You'd be crying and everything.
I think a lot of people who enjoyed...
He knew so well.
...enjoyed the Halo 1 multiplayer would go back and play it.
I just think that the Halo 1 was so much harder, and it takes more skill than Halo 3 because...
Exactly.
Bungie, I believe they didn't say it, but they pretty much said it, that they made Halo 3 easier for people to play, you know, that's why they
so
made
so people could get into it.
But yeah,
that's why a lot of people wouldn't like Halo 1.
And Call of Duty is the easiest freaking game I've ever played in my life on multiplayer, and I think that's why it's so big.
I mean, you can't challenge.
Pick up and play.
Call of Duty is so easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget the night Halo 2 came out, and I finally got home from waiting online at my local GameStop. I go on. We're all together. Everybody's freaking like so excited. We're all playing matches. And just the amount of people saying, why can I not kill this guy? And I'm looking at them, and they're just holding down dual SMGs, and you see it gradually going up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, idiot, tap on the buttons, tap on the triggers, tap on the triggers. And even, I mean, you know, it was common sense because you kind of remember that from the first one.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just an indication that, you know, like Mandy was saying, some people just started on Halo 2, and it was really frustrating for them.
But we kind of took a different take here, but that would be
good.
Cool. But let's end off Reach real quick with what do you want to see from Reach, and do you want to see it do well, or do you want to see Bungie move on? Duststorm, let's have you go first.
I'm a big Halo fan. I will always be a big Halo fan. The only concern I have is how much more you can pull out. I mean, if Bungie has things under their sleeve that's going to make the Halo franchise a lot better, then I'm all for more games. What I would like to see in Reach, as far as gameplay goes, see a little bit different style than what we've seen with the existing Halo games. See a little bit different play style. that kind of stuff. So
okay, all right, all right. And Lady Luck, what would you like to see?
I want to see a more developed story. They have so much potential, and I feel like they've become so focused on the online and multiplayer aspects that they've kind of just thrown together a campaign to keep people happy. And then, you know, I'm kind of the same, that I want to see them coming out with new stuff because there's so much potential to the universe. Because if they're just going to keep throwing the same things at us, then, you know, then it's going to be like, okay, whatever, it isn't worth my time.
One good more check. Thing is I want to see it stick to the storyline that they have established in the books.
Okay, yeah, I got you. Nothing, no surprises.
Well, I mean, like, in the games, they didn't address any of the extra Spartans where, I mean, they could have at least...
They thought they were gone.
No, I mean, they're still... I mean, technically, alive. By the books, there's still other Spartan 2s during Halo.
As far as I understand, though, everybody except for Ani assumes that they're all dead.
Well, they assume they are. But, I mean, I'm not saying that they have to follow the exact storyline, but, you know, I don't want them to suddenly be like, oh, let's find another alien race to try and kill everyone. You
know? I mean, it's okay if don't, like, address it all, but I don't want to see them stray too far away from it.
Will you see Brutes in Reach?
Yeah, I would assume.
I think that would be good, yeah.
Okay.
They were an Onyx, so. But, I mean, Dr. Halsey took one of the Spartans. Was a female, I forgot. She was a sniper.
Kelly,
yeah, there you go.
Do you see Halo continuing after this and continuing on with the books and maybe going to Onyx, maybe going to a few other things?
Well, this is what I want out of the Halo universe from now on. I want something gritty. I want more. I want a story that's going to shock the player. I don't want...
We know how it ends because we play Halo 3.
Yeah, absolutely. We know how it ends. They glass it. But I want something shocking. Like, I mean, that's the only downfall I'm seeing to Reach is that we know the story. So obviously they couldn't tell everything in the
Master
novel.
Chief's gay. Bum, bum, bum.
He's a cannibal.
There's also still the cliffhanger at the end of Halo 3, which it just dawned on me, but that might have some tie into Onyx. But.
Okay, well, you gotta kind of remember that if there is no way if the Flood are on every ring that the Flood's done with. And
I hope so. The Flood are creepy.
And there is no way that all of the Prophets are dead because there's a home world of the Prophets. There's a home world of the Brutes. I think they may have finished the fight.
They finished the story arc with John. So obviously, we might see John in another movie. I mean, film. I mean,
game.
There we go. Because, I mean, obviously, they were heading to a planet, and everybody assumes that's Marathon.
Will he take a Scott Mitchell thing from, like, N-War? He'll be more the guy giving orders?
Nah. I mean, that's the other part that worries me, is that so many people grew, they loved John and they loved Cortana, and none of them are going to be in these titles. So, how well do they develop new characters that we're going to grow attached to?
I was sad when Sergeant Johnson died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would think that they're going to do an all right job. I think that they're going to keep Reach like they kept Halo 1. Halo 1 stayed. The story wasn't broad. It was on Halo, and I think Reach isn't going to be too broad. They're not going to fly off to a Halo ring world. They're not going to fly off to Onyx. I think they'll strictly stay on Reach, and you'll fight that out. And
battle for Reach.
And
I hope that's what they do.
That's how you get to learn Master Chief and Cortana so well. You learn the characters through Halo 1. Halo 2, you already knew what they were about. It just you saw what they did, and Halo 3 was more about, you know, what they did in Master Chief trying to find her and but you know.
Now in Reach, the Fall of Reach, the book, we learned that the Spartans, you know, they cloned them whenever they kidnapped them, they cloned the kids, and the kids would die early, and they assumed there was some kind of virus or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's different kind of like terminal diseases or something.
So maybe they go into a backstory of the entire Spartan program.
Maybe.
Where it came from, how it was developed. Maybe we see John as a kid.
Those clones were only meant to, like, take back to the parents. They weren't, from what I understood from the books, is that they were designed to replace the actual person.
Yeah.
To mimic that they never left.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I think they called them flash clones.
Yeah, and like somehow the clone procedures weren't very.
I can see Halo, True Life Halo. I'm trying to find my
True Life is Halo.
Real mother, Master Chief. It's real pain. Mom, give me a weapon. Sorry to cut everybody off, but the one thing I want to see from, I like to write. I've been writing. I wrote for Talking About Games before it was Talking About Games. I've been writing for Podtacular for a long time. I even wrote on Gamertag Radio once or twice, and different websites.
Hey, don't forget Xbox Circle.
Xbox Circle. Okay, I like to write.
Freaks.
Yeah. Oh man, this is way back in the
day. Tag.
The list is endless. I'm just kidding.
Where I go, you go.
I like to write, and the one thing that I think Halo 3 had bad dialogue when she says, "Where should they go?" and she cocks the gun and says, "To war." I was like, that was the last thing. That was cheesy.
It was very cliche.
Yeah, it was. I want to see better writing. I want to make it more believable that I'm playing a video game rather than playing a kid's game. And
Miranda Keys in Halo 3 was not as good as the Miranda Keys in Halo 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would just say the only person who had good dialogue was Lord Hood, even though he was kind of a lack of better
word. He was an ass.
He was a poontang.
No, but he seemed very typical of what a person in that position today would be like. I mean, I think
he had good dialogue.
He captured pretty much the essence of the Marine.
The four-star general.
John had bad dialogue. I would say Truth had good dialogue, and I would say that
Johnson was pretty good.
I would just say that the writing of the Flood coming in at the two worst opportune times, that was just, oh my God. It was just like, oh, great. You know, you could see it happening, and you know, like, this is the one time, okay, let's go get him, let's go into
Well, it wasn't really innovative. Where, like, in Halo 1, it's just you pop right in there. In Halo 2, it slowly sneaks in.
We'll see some good cutscenes, too.
But it's not like they do a bad job of bringing it in there. They bring it in just enough to where it fits in with the story really well. With Halo 3, it's just like, bam, that's like, oh, great, here's the Flood.
I don't want to do. Like, Bungie is the premier franchise. I mean, Halo 3, it may be in all of gaming, you could say. You got God of War. I think Halo may be the premier franchise, and whatever they slack on in any kind of area, it's going to be, you know, that's what we're going to be talking about. We won't be focusing on what's good about it. We're talking about what's bad about it. So I don't think Bungie can, by announcing that they're continuing on, they can lack anywhere. I think this game has.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's no secret. It's no secret that Bungie is trying to create new IPs. They want to create something new, and you know, I'm sure in the back of their minds, they're sort of tired of doing Halo-related titles, and they want to be known for something more. So I'm just afraid that they're going to get lazy with this title, and give us something that's not full of their potential.
They can make some changes too that aren't necessarily restrictive of what Halo is right now. So
they absolutely need to.
Before we go, I want to ask one last question. Could you see Halo Reach being the best Xbox platform game ever? Bigger than Mass Effect? Bigger than? Do you think Bungie can pull out all the stops and really show what they can do in Halo Reach? I think that Bungie's got something out for all the haters out there. And either A, gonna give in to the mainstream, or B, they're just gonna make the best game we've ever seen. going to blow everybody away. What do you guys think? Do you guys think it has the potential to be the one of the best games ever?
Man, that's a tough one.
I think with the market, it has the potential to take the stage, but they're going to have to do some pretty amazing stuff and do stuff that's different than what Halo is right now to really make a difference, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is we tend to genericize that the platform game or whatever tends to be a new IP. It's not normally a sequel. Because then you have to compete with everything else that was before it in the same title. So they have potential to create a great name, or like, you know, a great game that will be kind of like Halo 3 that people will go out and buy the system for, but I don't think that it's going to reach the same level as we've seen other games.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I think if they really want to please the fan base and really expand the universe, they can. But if they slack off at anything, I see it only just as another mediocre game.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Well, that's the thing, you know. Can't you know? It's funny because Paris from Uncle Gamer and me, Chris Palladino, we joke about how me and Palladino are cranky. You know, we joke around saying we're cranky old gamers, that we're the old, the two cranky old guys and the Muppets, Waldorf and the other guy. So. I don't know if it's just that I've been doing this for so long and nothing surprises me anymore. And like, for example, with the whole Nadal thing, I am intrigued by the technology, and I don't mean to go off topic, but I wasn't excited because, you know what? It's not coming out yet. It's not coming out anytime soon.
You saw the Island movie, there's a thing in there where they're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, it all says Xbox 360 around it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you kind of see something like that, and that's the first thing I thought about when I saw in the tall work. They've been thinking about this the entire time, haven't they? But anyway, keep going. See what you're saying.
But like I was saying, you know, with Reach, you know, it really needs to, if it's going to impress me, and I'm not saying that I speak for everybody, if it's going to impress me, and don't get me wrong, I used, you know, me and Fumo were the hosts of Podtacular way back, so I love Halo, but I need to be impressed now. With this new IP. I mean, it's really not a new IP, but it has potential to totally take the story and make it, you know, create new content out of this story and bring something fresh and different. And that's going to be hard because Halo's always going to be tied in with Master Chief. And whether we you know, whether they introduce new Spartans and we grow to attach with these people, it's going to be a big challenge. And they gotta bring, like I keep saying, they gotta bring innovation to the table. And look at what they did with Halo 3 with the videos, the picture sharing, and, of course, Forge. So they can bring something good. I just hope it's good enough by the time it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
There's great competition out there now.
All right, guys.
I'm gonna have to see something really, really good come out of it for me to be really interested.
Mm-hmm. And of course I'll be interested in the story.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I could rent it and, you know, get an idea what the story is about. I don't want to rent it. I want it to be awesome.
Yes.
It's how much can you hook the player in to the story? Mm-hmm. That's my catch right now.
I think Dustin, you can really in a Peter Molyneux here.
Sorry, Halo is my game. I grew up on Halo. That's pretty much the only game I play. So when it comes to Halo, I'm all expecting great things out of it. Love it. Even though my multiplayer experience right now isn't that great, but
hey, you're a 10 in MLG now, man. You're up.
Yeah.
Yes. Skills.
Getting up there.
Well, anyway, before we get too much engulfed in non-E3 stuff, maybe we could invite JVB and Mandy on for another show sometime soon and talk more Halo potential. But
well, JVB will be on hopefully for the 4th anniversary episode.
Oh, just let me know ahead of time. Let me know.
Clapping.
I'll definitely do that.
Should be in July.
Should be in 9 weeks, right?
About
9 weeks.
Oh, tales to come.
200th episode, JVB. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man.
Doing big things.
What did you think when you guys ended the podcast?
what did we think would happen to the show overall?
Yeah.
Dusty, can we can you throw an edit in here? Can we
Yeah. It was more of a joke question.
Oh, okay. But I mean, we could ask them that on the 200th episode.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was more of a rhetorical question.
I just wanted to make sure that I don't want to go on some big ass tangent because we get it. I'm pretty sure that we're holding up these two guys.
We're hitting an hour and 30 minutes right now.
Yeah, and this is going to be a bitch to record to get down to 20 minutes, so.
Since it was going to be its own special, I'm going to make a different special and put like a 20 minute blurb like you did for MLG in here.
Are you sure that you, okay, if you want me to do it,
I'm
going to.
No, I'm going to. All right.
Okay, we'll talk as long as you guys want. I don't get hit at nothing. Keep going. With that being said, let's talk about the new Mass Effect 2 coming up next. I wanted to see what you guys thought.
I think that's going to wrap up the E3 for this special. I want to thank JVB and Lady Luck for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys for giving us a different perspective of the Halo universe. JVB being the cranky geezer and being there. That's a big thing, hearing about actual firsthand experience.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
She's got more patience waiting for an hour and a half than I do.
I had nothing better to do. It was really bad. No, seriously, for like the first 30 minutes, I was like looking at the line. I'm like, crap. I'm the only girl in the line. What does that say about me?
Nerd!
Yeah. Were there people hitting on you at the E3 event? Be honest.
There were a couple people, but, you know, most of the time we were busy doing stuff, so.
Yeah. Was one of them Carlos Farrell?
You had to bring that up.
He sounded like... during that interview, he sounded... Was he really? He sounded like you. That's the first thing I got when he was...
The one from Game NARP?
Yeah. Isn't he the one? He's dumb, right?
Yeah.
He kept saying, like, sweetheart, and I'm glad I met you, and I was like, what the hell is this guy saying?
Yeah, he was straight up about it. It was...
Yep. He didn't hide anything.
Did he, like, want your number or something afterwards? That'd be funny.
No.
What was great was when, you know, me and him are talking, and Mandy shows up, and the thing of me and Godfrey were like next to each other, and he, like, we're talking, all of a sudden he stops talking, goes, who's that?
Also, from the interview, it was funny when he was talking about how he said alcohol was a big deal to him, that it's like, it was really important. I was like, come on, man, you can't be saying that on air.
No, he's a funny dude. He's cool though, real cool.
Yeah, he sounds like it. Anyway, do you want to officially wrap it up real quick, Dustin?
Yep. Thanks again for listening in, guys, to our special E3 coverage of the Halo announcements. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. So, yep.
I had a